All right. Welcome to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And joining us via the phone, who was at the game of the night in Northern Michigan, the Kingsley Traverse City St. Francis game. And Harrison, this game did not disappoint with St. Francis coming out with a big 38-30 win.
Yeah, hey guys, happy Saturday morning. Weird to talk to you on a Saturday as opposed to a Friday, but it's a beautiful sunny day, at least in Traverse City right now. That was a heck of a ball game. We were talking yesterday how we're like, is this going to live up to the hype? Are these two at the caliber of the other? You know, what are we going to get from this game? And I think we got all that we wanted. And I tell you what, I've been at Rhodes Field, I don't want to say dozens of times, but it's definitely been, you know, 10, 20, 30 times in my 10 years covering sports up here. And I've never seen it that packed. Obviously, it's easy with Traverse City just right up the road. But, right. I mean, what an experience to have crowds packed. It felt like a mini Central West game to kind of sum up the environment for you guys. It was just a really unique atmosphere to take in a week nine game. It wasn't too chilly, so it kind of was that perfect fall weather. It was cold, but it wasn't freezing. And, we got a fourth quarter ball game with Kingsley going down the field in that last possession, coming up just a little bit short with the clock there for St. Francis to hang on. But, I mean, what a game and what a momentum builder for both teams to now go into the playoffs.
Right, no doubt about it, Harrison. And, you know, I was calling the West game last night, and we were constantly getting updates, you know, from the Kingsley-St. Francis game. And it was amazing that Kingsley, that crowd had to be going crazy early in the game as Kingsley jumps out to, what, a 16-0 lead early in the second quarter?
Yeah, it was the first Gladiator. It was the start of the game. The Glads took the opening kickoff, and they fumbled right away, kind of right around their own 20-25 there. And Kingsley recovered, and within a few plays, they had a true Beeman touchdown, put them up 8-0. And then the Glads actually drove down the next possession, drove all the way down the field, got to the one, and on fourth down, the Stag defense held them at that point. So they turned them over on downs and then scored again. All the momentum was with Kingsley at that point. So I was on the St. Francis sideline shooting, and you could just tell they were questioning each other, wondering what was wrong, where was the execution, where was the commitment. And it kind of turned around. They got one score in, and then from there they kind of built up a little more excitement. Excuse me. And from there they took over. They got a turnover as well in the second quarter there when Kingsley had a solid drive going. And right after that turnover that St. Francis got in the second quarter, Charlie Peterson found a wide open Wyatt Nausetas. Coach Ward is going to hate looking at that video all over again. Nausetas nowhere near him, and he, I think it was a 75, maybe 80-yard touchdown down the St. Francis sideline to draw within 16-16 ball game. And from there, that was all St. Francis with the momentum heading into the break. Kingsley did a great job second half of hanging right with them and matching them score for score. But in the end, St. Francis proved to be the better team, at least as far as last night's concerned.
We're joined by Harrison Beebe from 7-4 Sports. Harrison, we had a little glitch at the very beginning, and you don't need to catch up, but I just want to make sure that our audience knows that we're covering the game of the week, maybe one of the biggest games that we've had in Northern Michigan in a little bit of time. So other than the score, I mean, how evenly matched was Kingsley and St. Francis?
Size discrepancy-wise, the Glads were a little bigger, and I was talking with James Cook of the Record Eagle about that on the sidelines. We were like, okay, you know, on paper, St. Francis should kind of be dictating pace in this one, and that was when Kingsley was up 16-0. And I also talked to James, and I'm like, has St. Francis trailed this season? And we definitely were confident they'd never trailed by two touchdowns. They'd maybe been down by a score in a fluke game at some point here. But so to see Kingsley be right there with them at the start and really show that they belonged in that matchup. You know, they're number three in Division Five. St. Francis is, of course, number one in Division Seven. It really, I think, backed up what we've all been saying all year, is that, and what I kind of hinted to you guys yesterday on the show, you know, in a weird way, win or lose, obviously it's great for the team that won that game in St. Francis, but Kingsley, I think, is going to gain a lot from that tough loss, that down to the wire loss at home, that they're going to be able to rally around and really put into, I think, execution and use to their advantage come some of these playoff games in Division Five that are going to be tough challenges for them. So in that sense, I think Kingsley did come out winners last night, even though they don't have the conference title with a 9-0 record.
Right. Yeah. It really was like an extra playoff game, is what it was. And the fortunate thing is, if you lost, you still get to play next week.
Yeah. No. Neither team was eliminated. From yeah. Anything, so that's a good. And they won't see each other in the playoffs.
Nope. Yeah. Totally different divisions. But and going into that game, Harrison, I mentioned it yesterday. Also, I thought the explosive nature of the St. Francis offense was just a little bit different than what Kingsley had this year and all that. And I thought that would be the difference of the game. And they have playmakers, man. This is a good St. Francis team.
Yeah, you can tell the Glads are a little more comfortable passing the ball, at least when I was there for the first half. And I mean, Nostatus, if you guys have ever seen him play in person, he's a phenomenal basketball player, but this was my first time seeing the Glads this year in football. And he is really an impact player for their offense, whether direct snaps or just out there running the great routes to make his quarterback look good and make the Glads score easy and fast points as far as the receiving end is concerned. So I mean, when you have an X factor like that, I mean, that kind of just raises your level of competition and your level of success just a little bit more. It makes it that much tougher for the defense you're going against.
Yeah, so both of these teams had probably very high expectations to semifinals and hopefully Ford Field. We've talked about this all year long with St. Francis, a mantra for them to kind of put last season behind them and get over the hump. Rich, just off the top of your head, and maybe you know Harrison too, when is the last time St. Francis won a state championship in football? It's been a bit, hasn't it?
Oh, what's it been, Harrison?
2009.
Nine, okay. I was going to say 10 years roughly.
All
so,
nine.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because it had been, before they made it last year, it had been a decade since they'd even been down there, much less won one. And Everybody, you know, obviously St. Francis is known for football, but it had really been a 10-year drought for them even appearing at Ford Field, much less winning a championship. But I believe 2009 was their last title.
You know,
Coach Vaughn.
Yeah, exactly, Harrison. And again, you know, having the luxury of looking forward, not being the coach of the team or anything, but purely just being a fan of good football in Northern Michigan and throughout the state of Michigan, looming down the road in playoffs now, Jackson Lumen Christie is in. I know they've got a lot of playoff points. Say that's a potential matchup, you know, down the road that just would be, I mean, it would be football heaven.
Well, that one's big, and I actually just looked at the statewide scores before I got on the phone with you guys here in Pawama-Westphalia, which is right now slated to be in their kind of semifinal end of the bracket. They beat the top-ranked team in Division Six in Lansing Catholic yesterday.
Oh!
Willis won 12-7, so you got a Pawama team that's hungry to get to that game, too, and the Glads have played them in the playoffs in years past. I know they upset them in a regional at Thurlby a couple years ago, so they have some playoff history between those two teams, and yeah, there's going to be some intriguing matchups down the stretch, and these teams are showing here in even week nine that they're just as hungry as ever to make that run back in what is a normal season here that will hopefully conclude in November, like all the others besides last year.
Right. That's that Lansing Catholic team's the real deal. So you have our attention when you Pawama beat them. That's a great win.
Yeah, there's some dynamite teams across the spectrum in Michigan high school football. I got to imagine there's a lot of national collegiate coaches floating into the state to gobble up a lot of the players. I know, Rich, you saw a great one last night. The Central game. We've been talking about Josh Burnham. Who were some of the other standouts on the field last night, Harrison? And you went to another game as well, right?
No, I stayed strictly with the St. Francis.
Oh, did you?
That was
smart,
you know,
boy.
Going to be so big.
Yeah.
But just perusing the other scores, I mean, shout out to East Jordan for winning a conference championship, defeating Frankfurt 22-18, I believe, was that score.
Hell of a game. Ben,
what a great win.
I saw my buddies at the newspapers. Yeah, I think it's their first conference championship since the 80s, if I read correctly, maybe in the Record Eagle. And it looks like they're going to be playoff bound, and they haven't had a true playoff team. Obviously, they made it last year, but everybody made it last year. So I don't know how you want to count a playoff appearance a year ago, but I guess this will be their first real playoff appearance in 2003. So congrats to the Red Devils on a great season and closing that out with a conference championship where, you know, you look at a Frankfurt team and what they've accomplished over the years, even if they've been kind of hit or miss the last few, a lot of people probably thought even on the road that was a Frankfurt win to be had. and East Jordan, I think, was even behind and went back and scored to get the go-ahead touchdown at some point and seal up that title. So that's a great moment for that team and those fans up there in Red Devil country. So definitely a big shout out to them for achieving all those big things this season.
Yeah, no question about it. Like you said, Harris, you know, East Jordan, a team that's been down for years, it's really cool to see them get a legacy conference title there. That's just a great win for them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something those guys are going to be talking about forever, and yeah, the hard work like that pays off, and you actually win something that you worked so hard for. I mean, it's just that will be a signature moment for them. Inland Lakes, you guys cover Inland Lakes, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs, so they won the Ski Valley title, I think 44-30 over Gaylord St. Yeah. Mary, and, you know, a typical 8-man shootout game, and the Bulldogs look like, you know, a tough team. Sutton's Bay is going to be the favorite in our area to, I think, make the state title game again, but they're going to have to navigate some tough opponents in their half of the 8-man Division I bracket in order to get back to the Superior Dome up there in Marquette, and that's going to include the likes of an Inland Lakes, a Rogers City team that just suffered its first loss last night, but they lost to a pretty strong opponent in Rudyard. Pickford also lost last night, but actually maybe it was Pickford that lost to Rudyard. I started to mix up my UPA
right
football.
No, it was. It was Pickford. Rudyard upset Pickford, who was undefeated going into that game. And
that was it. Okay.
Yep.
So Newberry, yeah, I think Newberry was the one that beat Rogers City. That's okay. It.
Yeah.
Kudos to Inland Lakes. You know, they had a rough go of it at the end of their 11-man football.
Yes.
Really, it's struggling to scratch out at one or two wins. And it took them a few years to get acclimated to 8-man as well. So, you know, great for them to get the kids prepared to play 8-man and put on a good show.
Yeah, congrats to them for sure. And also, Kevin O'Connell's Snowbirds from St. Mary's. I thought they put up 30 points against an undefeated Inland Lakes team. And so, and Kevin, they've had trouble offensively scoring a lot. So they battled that team pretty tough. And I think St. Mary's might sneak into the playoffs here. It has a real possibility.
They might. I know I think I told you guys about the guy on Twitter that does the bracketology the high school playoffs. His latest projection, and that was before yesterday, did not have them in.
He did not.
I don't know if a quality loss like last night gives them more points. I'm not the bracketologist as far as that's concerned, so we'll have to see. I think with the eye test, they certainly deserve that chance, no doubt about it. But we will find out with the way all that's calculated. If that's going to work out for them. Of course, you know, I tell you what, I don't know if you guys have heard the talk. It sounds like the MHSAA, nothing's been confirmed yet, but they're at least initiating talks with athletic directors and whatnot. It sounds like there's a chance they might bring back last year's format permanently and let everybody into the playoffs here in a couple of years. We'll have to wait and see, but what do you guys feel about that? Are you a fan of everybody getting in, or do you like the idea that you kind of got to earn your spot to compete in the postseason?
It's, oh man, I tell you, I like to have a certain level where you have to meet to reach the playoffs personally. You know what I mean? It's a total different game than basketball, where basketball, as we know, high school basketball, boys and girls, they all get in. It's a different game. And I've seen huge upsets in that. But in football, the physicality of it, a team that's gone through a horrible year, 0-9, or things like that, I just don't know if they even want to play another game or not. I just don't. There's going to be huge mismatches in with a game that's so physical like football. You potentially getting kids hurt and things.
Well, that's the biggest issue is that, and you're going to see a lot of teams dropping out of games. So you'll have a number of teams that are really good that don't even get a game.
Right.
And then maybe they're caught, you know, so you've got a team that's barreled through, won a 4-5 matchup, whatever, Rich.
Yeah.
And then the team that they were should have had a game at 9-0 versus 1-8 or whatever, and then they're not prepared to play.
Right.
So, you know, that's the biggest issue I see. Yeah, the injuries and runaway games and things like that. You know, we've got running clocks and all the stuff to protect those people. But you're just going to see a lot of teams forfeit that first playoff game. And I think it screws everything up. That's just my own opinion.
Yeah, no, that's a good argument. And it sounds like, too, if they do end up going to this format, they're just going to get rid of the Week 9 game and make Week 9 the first week of the playoffs. So in reality, you're not even giving people an extra game. You're just taking away one more regular season game to then add that to the playoffs. So in a weird way, I kind of wonder what, you know, obviously it's great that everybody says they can make the playoffs, but, you know, sometimes those Week 9 games and those regular season schedules are filled with certain rivals that, you know, teams just would prefer to play, whether it's a playoff game or not.
I liked it the way it was before.
I'm not a big fan of it either, but we'll have to see.
I liked it the way it was before. You either had to have a 500 record or better. You know, that's kind of pretty much how they do it in the NCAA.
Yeah.
If you get to 6 wins, you're eligible for a bowl game, and there's going to be a game ready for you. So, and then I know they have to cherry pick some teams that might be 4-5 or whatever. But I think Rich is right. You've got to have some level of competency.
Yeah.
You know, basketball, you get teams that, you know, wild upsets, a team that whose record wasn't very good and beats a team that's, you know, ranked or whatever. But for the most part, that's, you know, you got your districts and they've really got that planned out. I don't know. You bring everybody in. You have to redistrict stuff. I don't know what you're going to do. It seems like a mess to me.
And Harrison, we talked with head coach Greg Vaughn from TC West. He sits on the coaches' committees and things like that. And so he's been doing this for years. And he said 3 or 4 years ago, the coaches, this issue was brought up about everybody getting in the playoffs, and about 8 out of 10 or so coaches were against it. No, we have to have some level of competency. You have to have that. Well, all of a sudden now this year, that pendulum has swung, and more coaches, a majority of coaches, are in favor now of everybody getting in. So, again, so that has changed in the last 5 years, Harrison.
Yeah, I tell you what, obviously it was kind of a no-brainer to do it last year with the shortened schedules, but that definitely whet the appetite to showing, oh, hey, look, even you guys can be in the playoffs. You know, we referenced that East Jordan playoff appearance, whether you want to count it to the true number or not from last year or the 2003 number where they were last in. However you look at it, you know, they were a playoff team, and I went to that playoff game a year ago against one team in the UP. I can't remember which one, but you know, it was somewhat a competitive game. And so you're saying to yourself, okay, do you want these, you know, automatic playoff berths to continue? Or, yeah, do you want to keep that specialty and that novelty of making a postseason spot for a lot of these teams is kind of like a conference title, and that it's a goal to work towards in the season as opposed to just knowing it's automatically going to be there no matter how strong your team is.
All right.
Well, take a look at the other states that have, you know, massive high school football: Texas, Ohio, Pennsylvania. None of these states are doing every team in. So, you know, if Michigan wants to reinvent the wheel, wouldn't surprise me. The MHSAA, you know, likes to step in and do some certain things. You know, maybe they'll change the soccer rules and the football rules. You have to stop the game if it's. Instead of a running clock, we just, oh, you're down by 30, the game's over. I don't know.
More apple slices.
I like orange slices myself.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
that's
not bad.
Soccer.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I said.
Harrison, before we let you go, any other games you wanted to note to our listeners?
Well, since you guys are a big Grayling listening area game. And you guys kind of started up there, I guess shout out to the Vikings on closing out what sounded like was a close game with Benzie Central. I'm blanking on the score. I know Coach Tony texted me last night. It was 34-26.
Yeah, it was a great game. I produced it on the radio. Yeah. We'll be talking about that particular game with Coach Tony coming up. So, yeah, we're going to cover that.
But Benzie plays Grayling tough every year, matter what.
Yeah, that's always a fun game. And according to that bracketologist guy, we'll see if this holds, but right now he had Grayling and Boyne City meeting up in the opening round of the Division VI tournament, which I went to their district final a year ago. It was this last Saturday before everything was shut down in November, and that was a fun environment to see two
great
old
game.
Lake Michigan rivals square off in a meaningful playoff game, and for two teams that I don't think it'd been in the playoffs. Obviously, we know how impressive Grayling's run was last year, but both those teams, I don't think, had made a run like that in a little bit.
Right.
So if we get Grayling's that rematch again, I think two of the best running backs here in Northern Michigan lined up against each other, I think a lot of people would would love to see that matchup again. So if the playoff points align, maybe we get that one next week.
Right. I was at that game as well, Harrison, and it really was. It was a phenomenal game, you know, late in the year, and just, you know, typical Boyne City, physical, tough, runs the ball down your throat. And but Grayling was able to stand tall and get a great win for them.
Harrison Beebe from 7-4 Sports, thanks for joining us so much here on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show, finally.
Yeah.
The post-game show, yeah. We can actually talk about games that just happened.
Right. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's much better than trying to figure out who's going to win.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Trying to be like, this game should be good. We'll see about this game. But, yeah, tomorrow night should be a lot of fun, guys. And, yeah, I can't wait to talk brackets with you next week.
Yeah, we'll be with you next a week from Friday for the pigskin preview. Thanks, Harrison.
Have a good weekend, guys.
All right, see you, bud.
All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio.
Hi, Rich Eric. Please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins and Jerry Coyne in studio with you today. And last night was week 9 here in the high school football in Michigan. And, man, I tell you what, there were some incredible games throughout the north and central part of Michigan. We've already talked a little bit about the Inland Lakes and Gaylord St. Mary's game. Inland Lakes did win that 44-30. But, again, so Inland Lakes finishes off an impressive 9-0 record there as they will move forward in the playoffs. And, again, I was really impressed with Kevin O'Connell's Snowbirds and them putting up 30 points against this team. So, really, we'll see if St. Mary's gets an invite into the playoffs or not, but we'll find that out tomorrow at 5:30 on Bally Sports.
Hey, Rich, I've never actually watched that show. Okay. How long does it run?
It's just a half-hour show.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Yeah, they just cruise. They get on there, and it's go time, man. They cover all, the entire state of Michigan. So,
I'm going to get Coach Eric Tunney on the game. You know, I produced our radio broadcast of the Vikings and Benzie Central game, and it was nip and tuck all the way. So while you're giving another score or two, we'll get Coach Eric Tunney on.
All right. Sounds good, JC. Again, that when we talked to Coach Tunney, Grayling won that game 32-26, and we talked about how Chad Patterson and I last week when we were in studio here, we were talking about no matter what – Benzie Central's record is they play Grayling tough every time. And it was, and again, there was certainly no shortage of excitement.
Hello.
Hi, Coach. Coach Eric Tunney from.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. We're on the air, Coach. So watch that foul mouth of yours.
You got it.
Hey, so, Coach, I mean, you knew going into this, Eric, that no matter what, Benzie Central plays Grayling tough. And they certainly didn't disappoint last night with your team hanging on to a 32-26 win.
Yeah, for sure. They give credit to those guys. They kept bringing it and gave us fits, and we knew they would. So hats off to them. But like I told our guys, you know, you find a way to win sometimes, and you know, there's been a lot of games in the past where we came out on the losing end, and you got to learn those lessons with the loss, but. Lot to learn from that, and I'm glad to get a win against a tough team. And really, they played most of their games tough. They just didn't get the win. So happy to get it, and we'll learn from it, and get ready for playoffs.
Yeah, a fantastic win, really, Coach. They just kept Benzie Central just kept coming back, and without seeing it, but listening to the whole game on the radio last night. They made some big defensive stops. You made some huge defensive stops. Big interception at the end of the game. You had a lot. Your seniors really stepped up last night.
Yeah, for sure. We got some playmakers, and that's tough to defend. You can't just key on one guy. Obviously, David's pretty good, but we got a lot of guys around him too that can make plays, and they did last night when we needed them too. So.
Yeah, yeah, Anthony Fisher. Fisher had a great game.
Tough game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your D linemen.
Yeah,
had
for sure.
Some
they,
great,
they.
Yeah. Fantastic
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, D-line played great. They defensively, they tried to get pressure, and they did quite a bit. But they packed the box, and then, you know, Fisher was able to catch a few couple deep ones and make some plays there. And then David busted loose on some, too. So, yeah, proud of our kids and the way they kept fighting, too.
Coach, the one question I have for you, again, I was, you know, I produced our broadcast, so I didn't see the game. But I was really surprised after you guys went back up near the end of the game that you kicked it short again. What was the thought behind that?
Yeah, so we try to squib it hard. Still a deep kick, but it didn't go as far as we wanted to. So, they're not really onside kicks. They're just trying to pin them back, but. You know, Benzie had a good scheme against us too. They returned one to the house
right
earlier in the game. So, so they're not really designed to be short kicks sometimes. But we're dealing with teenage boys, and you know they make mistakes just like us adults do. So,
right, fair enough. Yep. I'm sure. Just like, what are they doing?
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes, Coach, when you do that hard squib, you know, that's when those guys, those linemen that are usually 10 yards down the field, you bounce it off one of them, and then you can recover it. Yeah,
it happened in the beginning, beginning of the game.
Yeah.
The opening kickoff, it hit one of their kids, but didn't quite bounce back far enough. So, yeah, sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you scratch your head going, what was that, you know? But that's what makes it interesting, makes the heartbeats go up and down throughout the night.
Yeah, my heart was pumping pretty hard, you just, as it has most of the year this year, Coach, you found a way to make a big play at the right time, and, you know, I don't know if you call it luck or tenacity or whatever, but that seems to be one of the hallmarks of the Grayling Vikings team this year.
Yeah, our kids have really created an identity of, you know, never count us out. It doesn't matter if we're up or down. They're just going to keep fighting. And we really started to develop that last year. And that was a big part of our successful run. And then these kids, you know, obviously different team, a lot of the same guys, but, they have the same mantra. And, you know, we say up 20, down 20, it doesn't matter. And we're going to give it our all and see what happens when the dust settles.
Right. Now, Coach, what was that atmosphere like over at Benzie when the game was back and forth? And certainly you guys going into that game, most people think you're a heavy favorite. And then Benzie's playing right with you. The home crowd really had to be getting into it for them.
Yeah. You know, I wear the double ear muffs, so I don't get to hear a lot of it. We knew it was their last game. They got some seniors on that team that are really, really talented and play tough. So, it was sort of frustrating because we knew the longer they hung around, the more, it gave them fuel to their fire. And their kids, their quarterback, he's very, very talented. They got a couple linemen, too. So, you don't want to let teams hang around when you think you should have more points or be able to stop them, but give credit to them. They kept going, and their crowd was feeding them too.
Coach, you'd mentioned Anthony Fisher just a bit ago there. Now, wasn't he injured early in the year and missed a couple games?
Yeah, he had his ankle injury in the 7-on-7. So he didn't play week one, and then St. Francis, he was, back, but obviously hadn't had a lot of reps. So, he's good now, and it shows on the field. And he's just both sides of the ball. He's a weapon. So
exactly, and that's what gives you that extra dynamic playmaker now that he's closer to 100% because he had a great junior season last year. So now with this being his senior campaign, he absolutely wants to step up even more.
Yeah, for sure. He's just a freak natural athlete. Like you know, he's one of the kids like, hey, when you score, don't do a backflip. He can, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, he's just a great athlete, and he snowboards and does all that stuff. So,
right.
Hopefully playoffs don't go to January again, and I don't have to worry about that like I did with Hunter.
Right. And you initiated a new look on offense, Coach, with the power eye.
Yeah, we've, you know, that wasn't something we put in at halftime. We've been working on that for a few weeks. So we'll see how much we need it going forward. And, you know, I think it was just a good time to bust it out. And, yeah, the kids did pretty well against some live action finally.
Now, Coach, looking towards the playoffs here right now, rough guesstimate, possibly Boyne City. Is that what your sources are telling you?
Yeah, definitely a possibility. It kind of depends who they circle us with. It's either, I think if they circle us with Manistee, could possibly be a Glen Lake. If they circle Standish with us instead, looks like Boyne. So, okay. You know, we may not, it makes sense to me both ways. So, yeah, it could be either way, I think.
Okay. Coach, is this, do you guys get together for the selection show or what are you guys doing?
Yeah, we'll bring the kids in and, watch it. Although I got to figure out how to stream the Valley Sports
right
network. So we got to figure that out, but
better call Rich. Rich will get it for you.
Yep.
Yeah, might need some help. Might need some favors. So, yeah, that's the plan. We'll talk to the kids, and then we'll get ready Sunday night and Monday for whoever we got.
I've been to a few of those, Coach, at the media center there, aka the library.
Yeah.
So, yep, that's and it's a good time to get good interviews from the kids too. Chad Patterson, Chad, I got a couple of interviews, and so it's a great time.
Yeah, but I don't know if Chad actually knows any of the kids' names. He's got nicknames for everybody. You know, it's a little confusing. You know, I'm listening to the ball game all last night. I go, well, I know Millie. Who are these other guys?
Yeah, for sure. I don't even know if he knows our kids' actual names.
I don't think he does.
No.
Good thing he has his sidekick with him.
Right, yeah, exactly. Scotty Nichols.
That's right.
Scotty Nichols.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Well, congratulations. Great win. You know, I know after a sigh of relief and on the bus ride back home, you and the other coaches are going, that's probably a good game for us to play heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's nice to, you know, be able to score a lot of points and shut them down. Like, you want to do that because you work hard all throughout the week. But, you know, those are types of games where we're going to have in the playoffs. And
right.
You know, we got to see how your kids respond, and you don't want the first time to be in a district championship game or, you know, district pre-district game or anything like that. So,
right.
Yeah, like I said, sometimes we have to learn those lessons with losses, but, you know, recently it's been in the win column. So good to have tough games like that. And I think we're better overall because of it.
Right.
Well, as you mentioned in your pregame interview with the aforementioned Chad Patterson, yeah, it's nice to learn from losing, but it's way better to lose when you win a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Coach, I'm looking forward to once my Friday night responsibilities are done, I'm looking forward to watching some of your games in person. So congratulations on what you guys have done so far, and good luck moving forward.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, go Vikings.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, see you, bud. Yep. Yeah, Coach Eric Tunney there with the victorious Grayling Viking team last night. All right, we're going to head to break. You're listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. All right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And joining us now is head coach Eric Sugars of Traverse City Central Trojans. Big win last night, Coach, as you guys traveled down to North Farmington and shut them out 56-0.
Yeah, you know, our kids played extremely well. You know, I thought we traveled well, and we got a pretty special group, a mature group, and had that long road trip and got off the bus, and we didn't waste any time. You know, we got going in the first quarter, and that was kind of our goal, is to take control early and take control of the game, and hopefully kind of make sure that we were in control and we can get the win and get out of there and be safe and healthy. And look, now we can focus on the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure, Coach. I mean, I know that taking those long bus rides, it's always a concern as a coach is, you know, if the kids actually mentally get off the bus when you start the game.
Yeah.
But really, sounds like, again, you guys didn't have any trouble with that last night.
No, like I said, we have a mature group. We've done this before. You know, these kids are used to taking those long bus trips. You know, we make a stop, we do a walkthrough, we have a meal, you know, and so, you know, it's kind of a business trip. You know, you kind of treat it that way. You know, it is fun. Obviously, you're playing a high school football game, but, you know, our kids travel well. We're used to those long trips, and I'm proud of what they've been able to do and then the maturity of this group this year. Again, you lead your seniors. You got to have a senior-led team, you know, that certainly helps. And we have some great seniors that kind of lead the way and lead by example, and that helps on a bus trip like that, and the understanding of the program, everybody involved, and what we need to do.
Yeah. And Coach, you guys come out of the game healthy, Coach?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we came out healthy and played well, and we're excited, like I said, to take that. You know, it's the second season now. We're 0-0, regular season record done, 8-1, and now the new season's upon us. So there's a lot of excitement for that, and I can't wait till Sunday night. We get to have the playoff selection show and see where we fall.
Right. As you know, Coach, it looks like you're going to be hosting some games there at Thurlby Field. What are your scouts telling you that whether it's Saginaw Heritage, Bay City Western, you know, Midland Dow type thing? I mean, is that what you're looking at in your bracket?
You know, you kind of look historically at kind of where we've been sent in the brackets. And, you know, that's typically some of the teams we've been paired up with, but you never know, you know. I haven't had a chance yet. I'm out here at a flag football combine this morning, so I haven't had a chance to look at all the numbers, who won and what the playoff points are exactly to see where we're going to be. I'll do that later this afternoon to get an idea. But again, even when you do that, you can spend a lot of time doing that. And then the way they divide regions up and districts up, kind of goes from there. So we'll wait and see. It's Sunday night, but we're excited.
Scouting a new replacement for Josh Burnham, I assume, Coach.
Hey, always. You know, it's program building. You know, we got some of our players here. Like I told the second, third graders and the coaches, these guys volunteer their time, and it's just exciting to see kids out here enjoying flag football and enjoying this great game, and having our players be here. You know, some of these kids, high school kids, you know, they got home at 1:32 in the morning, and then they show up to help out and volunteer with kids, and that's what we want in our program. We want our kids teaching to serve others. It's not about them ever.
Right.
If you can serve others and invest in others, and that's kind of program building there. That's what we want.
No, that's a great thing, teaching these young men and stuff to give back to the community. That's a great thing. And also, Coach, it's always good there to get those young kids playing flag football to see who the athletes are coming up in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially today's a neat day. They get to be on Thurlby Field, and just a great experience all around. Plus, when they see the high schoolers, too, and that's always a neat thing.
Yeah, no question about it, Coach. I mean, you know, just looking back through the regular season, Coach, I know you got to get back to your responsibilities there and with the flag football game. But, you know, you got to be really happy, other than one half of football maybe to start against DeWitt in the very first game, that your team has really played very, very well all year long.
Yeah, and I'm most proud of just kind of our growth. You know, we're a really process-oriented team. I think I've talked about that before, but just the growth and the kind of maturity of our guys in terms of how they're handling the season, how we're getting better every week, regardless of an outcome. Like, you might have a big score, you win a game, but there's a lot of things you can always work on, and that's a credit to our coaching staff that we show up on Sunday. We have a phenomenal coaching staff. You know, I represent a phenomenal group of coaches, and I'm blessed to work with those guys because they do – an amazing job with our kids. I sit back and watch them break down film and do film study with our kids, and I'm just amazed and blessed to work with high quality individuals like that. And, you know, and it shows, and then it passes down to the kids. And like I said, senior leaders, they work hard at all the little things. The little things add up, you know, and so if you continuously get better at those little things, they're going to show up on Friday night.
Hey, Coach, I got a quick question for you. So you made that long bus ride, and you know, North Farmington has had some really good teams in the past. We know they're a little down this year. But I was wondering, what kind of crowd did you have last night?
Hey, thanks, guys. You know, they had senior night, so it was a pretty decent crowd. You know, it was one of those, a lot of times week 9, week 8, you get senior nights. So there's a decent crowd down there. And, you know, again, it's one of those areas too. It's a highly populated area, and it's nice to go down and, you know, beat teams downstate too, and just have that experience for our kids.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, you know, obviously TC Central has had a great year. There's even downstate as opposed to here, there's a lot of eyes on you. So I'm sure there was a lot of football, high school football junkies to, wanted to see you guys in person, and you certainly put on a show. I'm sure there's a couple of stories floating around in the Oakland press down there and maybe the Free Press about how good this Central team might be. And I was wondering if how many local reporters might have discussed the game with you before you guys got out of there.
Okay, guys, so we're not done yet.
Yeah, we did. I mean, and that's, again, that's, you want to be able to promote your program in every aspect, and certainly your play on the field is the best way to promote and show, you know, what the type of talent and the type of program we have up here. And we were able to do that last night, so I'm excited about that and looking forward to the postseason, as I mentioned.
Well, we want to thank you so much for giving us all this time all season long, and we hope to keep talking to you all the way up to Ford Field.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Appreciate your support of high school football and support of the Trojans. And hope you can come out to one of our playoff games. And as always, go Trojans.
All right, would love to. Go Trojans.
Go Trojans. And all right. Make sure those kids tackle low.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right, head coach Eric Sugars of the 8-1 Traverse City Central Trojans. It's really looking like they're going to host for a while at Thurlby Field. So Northern Michigan, you're going to have be well represented with some of our teams up here. So looks like we're going to have to go to break here one final time here and then come out and close this show. You're listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio.
That means, that noise means we're back on the air. Welcome back to the Bill Marsh Automotive Group High School Scoreboard Show. Jerry Coyne and Rich, with Rich Calkins and Rich, you and Tom got had a big tilt over at Thurlby Field. We wanted to talk to, I wanted to get your impressions about my biggest arch rival, the Catholic City Central Shamrocks. You were telling me they had, that's the biggest amount of kids you've seen on a field this year.
Unbelievable. There were possibly anywhere from 70 to 8. They had every number on their roster filled up from 2 through 99. It was an incredible showing for this team that, again, Detroit Catholic Central, that came north with their 14 state championships. I mean, just an incredible, incredible program, JC, as you know, playing them in the Catholic League. They've sent 500 kids in football alone to get scholarships to play collegiately, and of those kids, 33 of them have made it to the NFL.
Yeah, they've got a pretty big pipeline from, especially from CC to U of M. Almost every year they have at least two or three kids. I mean, Brother Rice and Catholic Central neck and neck. But you and I were talking a little bit off air, and it's, you know, it's too bad that maybe things schedule-wise could have worked out a little bit better, where maybe Brother Rice should have played TC West and TC Central should have played Catholic Central.
Right. Would have been a great matchup both ways. That sounds like certainly more competitive games. And right, that's what this Catholic Central team reminded me of, is what Central, TC Central was all about.
Yeah.
Too. That would have been a phenomenal matchup.
Is Central and Catholic Central in the same division? Could they end up meeting?
They, let me double check, but I believe they
are. I think they are.
Well, they actually, they're with West. No, they're West. They're with West.
They're with West. Central's Division II.
Yeah,
right?
Central's Division II, Catholic Central. They have 1,800 kids in their high school.
All boys.
Yeah. How's that when Kevin O'Connell's up here at Gaylord St. Mary's hoping to get...
Joe Coyne graduated with
six boys in his class. And they got 1,800 boys in their high school to draw from.
Yeah, so the way the MHSAA looks at that, folks, is that means it's a school of 3,600 kids, which would be like the third biggest school in the state.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's a small college, is what that is.
But what I was, you know, the last question I asked Coach Sugars from Central, is about, you know, a team that's not in the forefront of high school football when you look at it, you know, from the PSL. You got some good PSL teams, you got some good Catholic League teams, but I'm sure there was a bunch of people that came to that game to see if Josh Burnham was the real deal.
But you
said that you said the quarterback for CC was the real deal.
This kid was phenomenal. I mean, his name is Declan Byle, B-Y-L-E.
You gotta like the Declan. There's an Irish guy.
Yes, for sure. Yep, he's 6'3", 180 pounds. He's a senior, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Catholic Central's media people at all. But we were both, Tom Devitt and I, were wondering, this kid's got, obviously, he's got next level ability. He's a dual threat kid. He only ran when his receivers were covered, and when he ran, he was a threat to take it to the house every time. But he didn't do it all the time. He purely wanted to be a drop back passer and throw the ball. In the first half, he had thrown for 240. Yards.
Wow.
Yeah. But
CC always seems to have really good wide receivers.
They were amazing. They would lay out. They had probably four diving catches that they made. And those, and I talk about it most every game, those stick 'em gloves, as I call them now. You know, those were just, thank you, Lester Hayes from the Oakland Raiders. But those gloves are amazing nowadays. That's how these kids can make these one-handed catches and things like that, because these gloves are so sticky.
Yeah, just from your purview, how many kids do you figure are D1 college that is on that CC team?
Oh, gee, Jerry, I would
probably
7 to 10 because I'm looking at the offensive line, and they fired off the ball, and they were big, and they were just you know, they were impressive. I mean, there's a couple of wide receivers there for sure. They didn't run the ball that much, to be honest with you. I give West credit for that. The defense played well for West.
Well, they've got some 275, 280 for 6'6", 275, 6'5", 285. I mean, that's D1 size right there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And they know that, you know, and Jerry, and it recruits itself. If you go to Catholic Central, you're a starter, and you play good, that automatically they know that these kids are disciplined. They do a good job. They know they've been coached well in high school. And just like the, you know, kids that go to Brother Rice, you know what kind of program they come from, and coaches will automatically give you a look because of where you played ball.
Well, that's how I ended up getting scholarships, because, you know, the people came to see Kevin Smith and Tim Andre.
Right.
And, you know, if you make a good showing, they start talking to you. They know you've been well coached.
But then it happens on, and they know, who's this other kid?
Yeah, I see a couple of the assistant coaches here are Mack kids.
Oh, those kids.
Who are the sons of Tom Mack, who is one of the
legendary coach. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he had like the second most wins, I think, in all of Michigan high school football.
So I know we're talking, and I don't want to drool all over CC. I mean, but West just was overmatched.
Yeah. And again, they really play offensively. They got down in the red zone once. It was first down at the 19-yard line. Great drive. And then the penalties come back. And I told you off air, almost 300 yards in total penalties against both teams. 160-some for Catholic Central and about 130-some for against West. And it
a three-hour plus high school football game. That's a long football game.
It's a long game. I don't like being critical of the referees because I know it's hard to do.
It's hard to find referees.
Yeah, so I hate doing it. But, man, if they were paid by the flag last night,
got a bonus.
A lot of rollover, a lot of compounding interest was accrued last night.
So, by your math right now and by the website, what is the look for West?
It's looking like West is going to travel down to Granville once again.
Oh, boy.
That's west of Grand Rapids, of course, and that's the team that West played. It got beat up pretty well last year as well.
Granville is a historically good program for the last 20 years. They send a lot of kids to D1.
They play in that tough OKC conference with the – it would be in the same region with Rockford, who is the number one team in Division I right now. So, yeah, that's a very tough region as it looks right now.
Yeah, that's they played an extraordinary. I mean, when we talked about this, you think about this, Rich, how quick this season has gone by, right?
It's flown by.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's just amazing. Well, it seems like just a few weeks ago we were talking about even doing it, you know, covering the TC West.
Yeah, we cobbled it together in a pretty quick fashion. And kudos to you and Tom and JJ for getting all the games off the air. But I remember talking to, you know, when we first looked at the schedule and talking to Coach Vaughn, they had as tough a football schedule as I had seen on paper in a while.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. Starting off with the battle at the Big House against Midland, getting down big in that game, and then come roaring back and score 28 unanswered points to win it, you know, 35-28, was just an incredible start to the season.
Yep, hung tough with Central.
Yep.
And then had to play this this Catholic Central team. You know, probably the only misstep that you could see is the Marquette game.
Yeah. For sure, and that's what I think Coach Vaughn alluded to it also last night in the post game. That one kind of stung a bit because they really thought that they had the better team. But give Marquette credit; it was their senior night, it was their last home game. They had a big crowd there, and they had a good quarterback, a little guy that could had escapability and was very accurate with touch passes, and they won the game. And so that one hurt for sure. That's what is probably the difference in them traveling to Granville and then instead of hosting the game.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, you don't want to look back. You got to look ahead.
Yeah, you do, sure.
And play the team that you get dealt in the playoffs. But regardless, they have, you know, if they can advance, they will have earned it.
For sure. And that's what Coach Vaughn talked about last night. Is he talked to the kids after the game. He said, everybody's looking at us right now as TC West is, a solid team that get to the playoffs and lose their first playoff game. He said, if we want to put ourselves on the map, we need to win some playoff games. And he said, how better that would be to beat Granville initially and then possibly match up with Rockford and shock the world. He said, then we'll be on the map, and then people will be putting some respect on TC West.
Well, this TC West team doesn't have a lot of superstars, but it's a great team.
Right, and there again, like how Coach Shiggers talks about that Central team, TC Central team, how they are senior laden. That's exactly what this West team is. Well, there are almost every one of their starters is a senior. Very few underclassmen are starters on that team, so there's still high expectations for this team.
Well, like Coach Shiggers said in the interview we had with him, we're 0-0 heading into the playoffs, and you know, there's a lot of football left to go. We're going to be covering it all for you here on the High School Scoreboard Show, brought to us by Bill Marsh. And make sure you check in with Rich and I and Keith Gave on Friday morning here at 10 o'clock on Up North Sports Radio. We'll have the whole playoff lineup for you. And the best part of high school football is ahead of us, Rich.
Yeah, it really is. This is when everything counts. It's win or go home now. And I know we got a hard out at 11 for the University of Michigan football game, their pregame show. So, appreciate everybody listening in to the Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group.
All right, we'll see you Friday morning here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off. Don't forget Red Wing Hockey tonight here as well. Michigan football, the pregame is now, and then the kickoff at noon against Northwestern.